Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to today's live webcast. Thank you once again for joining us. Yes, nice to have you with us, Barry.
Yeah, it's always good to be with you, mate, and with our family around the world. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just seen Mike's comment. Every time I hear this hymn, I'm in bits. I know the feeling, Mike. Here is love, vast as the ocean. I mean, you know, it's the best thing ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's almost not fair, is it, to start with that?
No, but it kind of lays the good foundation for the rest of the evening. Maybe we'll all be in bits by the end of the time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. How's your weekend? It's going good, thank you. Yes, going all right.
Nothing new and exciting?
Well, I've just finished a new booklet, which is going through the Amazon review stage at the moment and should be live on Amazon tomorrow, hopefully.
Woohoo. And tell us, can you say, do you want to say anything about it, or as
yeah,
far as
no, 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 I'll give a little rundown on it. I started off, those of you who know my website, you'll know that I do a weekly blog called The Weekly Signpost, which you're very welcome to subscribe to and receive every Monday morning. That's quite a short blog. I try to make it fit within Instagram's 2,200 characters each week. and then occasionally I write a longer blog, just maybe, you know, just a bit longer on something that's buzzing around in my heart. And a few weeks ago, just before Christmas, I started writing this. I thought it was going to be a blog post, but it turned out to be a booklet. So those of you who've read my comfort booklet, it's about the same sort of size as that. And I've called it, Have We Made God Too Nice? Because I hate the word nice. You know, when I was at school, we were told never to use the word nice. You know, it's, to me, nice is insipid and lacks character. And, you know, it's in some ways, it's kind of an insult. You know, oh, Barry's a nice fellow. You know, it's kind of a brush off, you know, and we can't think of anything to say, and we don't want to be critical. So we say, oh, that's nice. Or that was a nice cup of coffee. But, you know, your face tells you gives away what you're really thinking. And I think there's been a tendency to make God appear too nice. And when we do that, we get away from the God of the Bible. And so what I've done is, just in this little booklet, I've just asked the question, have we made God too nice? And I look at certain areas where I think we've watered down the nature and personality of our Father. Mm. And, you know, when I actually look at how he's been watered down, I think that's not the Father I know. That's not the love I experience. You know, that's not the person I'm giving my life to. You know, that's just something insipid and, you know, all embracing and mamby-pamby. So I've written this booklet. It's on Amazon. It's just going through the review process. It should be on Amazon tomorrow or the day after. It's in Kindle format and it's in a written format. And as I say, it's only a small little booklet. I hope it's quite thought-provoking. Barry's read it. I want it to be quite challenging. Because our Father went to great lengths to redeem us and bring us back. You know, that was a really big deal. And I don't want to minimize that and devalue it in any way. So that's kind of what I've been up to over the last few weeks, putting that together. I got a friend of mine, actually, who's a really, really good, clear Bible teacher, as well as an editor. And with some trepidation, I asked him to look at it, and not only from an editing point of view, but from a theological point of view. And I was kind of a little bit worried of what he might say. But he came back yesterday and, you know, he was very, very affirming of it. So that was very encouraging.
Eagle Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I got the email last night and I kind of, I had to sort of steel myself to read it, but it was very positive. Yeah.
Yeah, I just encourage everybody to have a read. And yeah, and as Mark said, it is thought provoking, you know, because it does cause us to think outside sometimes the, you know, some of the maybe, our ideas or, you know, what culture has even suggested as well. So, yeah. Go get it. Now, is it going to be outside of the Amazon UK?
It's on all of the...
right across?
Yeah, it's on all of the Amazon platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, there it is. So go get it.
Yeah.
any other things you want to talk about events coming up or...
Only just to mention, can I just mention again our school?
Absolutely.
Just to say again, at the end of March, the last week of March, we've got our Encounter the Father's Love, our residential Father Heart School, which I'm really, really looking forward to. Just in 10 days' time, actually, I'm going to Poland, and I'll be leading the first school I've led for 2 years. The last school I was leading was in Poland in March 2020, and in 10 days' time I'll be back in Poland with my wonderful team and leading the school there in Poland. But a few weeks after that, at the end of March, we got our UK school. We got plenty of space available, and we would love to welcome you. The restrictions for coming into the UK are being lifted. And so it is possible to come to the UK from other, particularly other European countries. Obviously, you have to know what your own rules are going back home, but coming into the UK is a lot easier. And you can fly to Birmingham or Manchester quite easily. So we really take time on this week just to look at the biblical basis for God being a father, but more than that, the biblical basis for him loving us and for us being able to open our hearts to receive love. And of course, to receive love, we have to let go of some of the blockages that get in the way. And we deal with some of those during the week. And we want to end up looking at what it means to begin to walk the walk of sonship, to walk as Jesus walked. So I'm really excited by this. I feel it's going to be a very, very good school. And I just would like to invite you to come along. If you've got friends in the UK or in other parts of Europe, just tell them about it. Everything's on the website, fatherheart.uk/encounter. So plenty of time to book, plenty of spaces, but do get your application in as soon as possible. Thanks, Mady. And what are you up to?
Not a lot. That's normal. We're, as you know, we have a travel advisory here in Canada where our government doesn't want us to travel outside the country yet. So we're kind of landlocked a bit, but, you know, doing all my web stuff and, you know, trying to, we're expecting a big snowstorm yet again tonight. So I'll be shoveling tomorrow. But other than that, yeah, everything is fine.
So just tell us again, Barry, at the beginning of the year, you launched your new daily blog.
Yes.
Which is on godlovesyou.tv, I believe.
Yes, yes,
just give us a little rundown on that again.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch for me because I felt like God wanted, well, I wanted to, so I trust that he was putting it in my heart. Let me put it that way, to really kind of sit on the love of God and what, like, to describe it in 365 different ways, the attributes of his love, the benefits of his love. And so, I that was the first step. It was coming up with 365 attributes that all have scriptural basis, which was really a great adventure. And then the next part of it was, it took a little bit of a act of faith. My dear brother, he kind of reassured me that I was okay in doing this, but I really did feel that the Papa wanted to be able to, for him to share what's on his heart through, you know, through that descriptive nature, and for me to write a short devotional in the first person, from his perspective, which that's the part that he kind of, because I always am like, oh, am I allowed to do this? But in Peter, it says, when you're speaking, when you're preaching, speak as if you're speaking the very words of God, right? And of course, that's what we do, not saying thus saith the Lord, I'm speaking his words, but you know, we are doing our best to hear what we believe by faith he's speaking to us. So yeah, that's what I've done is I've, so every morning we send out an email to those who have subscribed, and at godlovesyoutv.tv, the main page, there's a new attribute of love, and then a description of that attribute from Father God to us, right? So it's him speaking his desires. And I'll tell you, it's been an amazing journey. It can be humbling, but because I just sit down and I say, Papa, what do you want to say? And then I start typing and trust that, you know, some of his heart is expressed. And of course, I do that with fear and trembling. But yeah, so far, so good. And, you know, I were almost, because I started in mid-November, so it's almost like we're a quarter of the way through the year of doing this, but I've got three quarters of the year to do this. But the way I hope it comes across, and it's almost like I felt like this was the Father's desire, is just that people would be feeling like there would be, you know, new mercies every morning, you know, that, and it's almost like a fresh kiss from the Father to his kids every morning and talking about his love. So that's kind of the goal. And so far, you know, the feedback we've had has been pretty encouraging, that people have really felt the first person expression of God's heart has made it very personal for them. So, yeah.
And that's on the website, godlovesyou.tv. And you can sign up and get that daily email.
Yeah. Yeah. Free subscription, or you can just visit the website every day and get it too. So yeah, thanks.
I must admit, Barry, I get the three emails every morning. God Loves You, Father Heart, Daily Reading, and the Promise. And they are good reading material over my bowl of cereal every morning.
Thanks, mate.
But I like the variety. I like the, you know, the Promise. I like the Daily Reading. And the first person is... the one in the first person, the new one, it's quite nice. Just I allow myself to slow down a little bit and read it reflectively, and not just read it as another email, but just to read it as a Father speaking. So I really, really encourage you to go for that. Sign up for it and enjoy. Maybe not over your bowl of cereal, but as and when it comes in.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
So Barry, would you like to pray for us as we get going?
Absolutely. I would love that. Father, we thank you that, whoever lives in love lives in God and God lives in him. Thank you that you have promised that you would never leave us or forsake us, that you would be closer than we could ever possibly hope for or imagine. And as Mark talks about living in love in this broadcast, Father, I just pray that our hearts would be so open to have an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying, that we would know that the idea, it's not like a conceptual thing that we can live in love, but we can actually make our home in your love.
Yeah.
And knowing that as we live in love, you confirm that by living in us. And so, Father, we just pray for every heart that there we would just be strengthened and encouraged as we listen to this. I pray for Mark, just for the simple clarity of what's on his heart, and that he would be able to describe the indescribable love of God in ways that maybe he hasn't even thought of yet. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, see ya.
So, yeah, living in love. Just want to talk a little bit about that today. And I hope I hope we see something fresh, that it really is possible for us to live in love. You know, I think sometimes we read verses of scripture about God's love and living in love and being planted in the vine and abiding in vine. And we kind of read the words and we understand what the words mean, but something in our heart kind of says, really? And, you know, what I really believe is there's a greater experience for each one of us of what it really looks like to say that we live in love. See, I guess for many of us, it certainly was the case for me. You know, I've always known God loved me, but I haven't always known that I've been living in love. And I think those are two very different things. You know, the love of God, of course, is never in doubt. But, you know, for a lot of my life, I didn't understand what it meant to live in love. You know, as far as I was concerned, it was an environment or a feeling or something I would visit every now and then. You know, I might go to a conference, or I might have a good quiet time, or might have a good worship session. And, you know, I would know for that moment, or those moments maybe, or maybe even 2 or 3 weeks, that I'd found something new. But then, you know, I would sort of carry on with my life and, you know, walk away from that place and go back to life as what I thought was normal. See, I describe it as, you know, my home was outside of love, and I would occasionally visit love. But something has happened in my life over the last few years where that has completely changed. And I know now that my home is in love. And, you know, there might be days I wander off and go walk about, but, you know, I come back and I know that I found a place that I call home. I know that I found something that I didn't have before. I know a little bit more what it means to live in love. I don't believe I've experienced the fullness of that yet. I'm just dipping my toes in it. I believe there's more for each one of us. And maybe you can identify with what I've just said, that, you know, maybe you're one of those people who visits love every now and then wanders off back home, back to something else. Or maybe you know that you've found a place, you found a home. And yeah, we all go walk about. But the wonderful thing is, when we go walk about, the Father is always with us. You know, it's never about his ability to love us. It's always about our ability to receive love. And I just want to encourage us this evening that we have a home. We have a place we can call home. And that home is an environment of love. It's a place where love rules, and we can rest in that love. As Paul says in Ephesians, you know, we are rooted and grounded. We're planted and established in love, that the roots of our life go down into the soil of love. And that's where a plant gets its energy from, isn't it? You know, a plant gets its energy, gets its food, gets its nutrients. It gets it from the soil that it's planted in. And as we become planted in love, rooted and established in love, so that love will become the very thing that gives us energy and gives us life. And you know, enables us to be sustained. There's a really lovely story in Exodus chapter 33, which I just want to, I'm not going to read it, I just want to sort of draw out some things from it. But it's the account of Moses having a discussion with God. You know, Moses has been asked to lead the nation of Israel. He's been asked to lead all these people. And to be honest, it's not going that well. You know, these people are being really rebellious. They're not really listening to Moses. They're They're going off into their own independent ways. They don't want to follow him. They're making his life really, really difficult. And poor old Moses, he is really struggling. And in verse 12 of Exodus 33, he comes to God and he said, God, I can't do this. Who are you going to send? I need some help. Who are you going to send to help me? You know, I can't do this on my own. How do I do it? You know, teach me your ways. He says, show me what to do. Tell me what to do. Give me the rule book. Give me the instruction manual. Because I can't do this on my own. You see, Moses is in that place where many of us often find ourselves. Moses is totally overwhelmed by the circumstances, by the situation, by the demands that are being put on him. He just doesn't know what to do. And he comes to God and he cries out to God and he says, I don't know what to do. I need some help. And we often get to that place, don't we? We're often in that place where life overwhelms us, where the pressures of our job, the pressures of our family, the pressures of our health, the pressures of our finances, all of the pain and brokenness and woundedness that we carry inside of us, all of that multiplied because of the family members that we're connected with. And we get to the point where we just feel totally overwhelmed. And we don't know which way to turn and we don't know which way to go. And there's a cry in our heart that says, oh God, I can't do this. And Moses thinks that the answer will be in God giving him someone to go with him. Moses thinks that the answer will be in perhaps getting an instruction manual. See, Moses sees the issues in front of him and he says, God, I do not know how to deal with these issues. How do I do it? And God's reply is beautifully tender. It's incredibly intimate. You see, God doesn't answer Moses' questions. He doesn't answer Moses' cry. He just says something so beautiful to Moses that stops Moses right in his tracks. Moses comes with his being overwhelmed, and God says, my presence will go with you. My presence will go with you. And it's in that moment when Moses hears those words that it's like the eyes of his heart are opened and he says, now I get it. It's not about having other people with me. It's not about having an instruction manual. It's not about having a rule book. It's all about your presence. And Moses in that moment has an incredible revelation. Because God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses' response is, well, if your presence doesn't go with us, we ain't going nowhere. If your presence isn't with us, we're staying put. You see, Moses has suddenly seen that it's all about God's presence. And, you know, in the New Testament, we've got the story of the lost son in Luke 15. And, you know, what he has is a homecoming. He comes home. And it's a very similar thing that experience to the one Moses has. Because Moses finds a place that is safe. He finds a place where he can be truly content. He finds a place where he is surrounded by and enveloped in love. You know, in a sense, Moses has a homecoming. He comes home. And he just suddenly sees that the Father's presence is what it's all about. And I simply want to say to us tonight that if you are feeling overwhelmed by the circumstances and pressures of life, don't let those things become the main issue. Make the main issue finding his presence, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would be planted in love, that you would put the roots of your life down deep into the Father's love. You know, I don't believe that's a one-off experience. I believe that's an ongoing lifestyle where day by day, month by month, year by year, we allow our life to become more and more enveloped in his love. I guess Lamentations is not a book we read very often. It's not the most cheery book in the Bible. It's quite gloomy, quite miserable in many, many ways. But actually, when we start to read it, what we see is it really does describe our life. It describes what our lives are like. And we tend to only know a few verses in the middle of chapter 3. But if you read the whole of chapter 3, Jeremiah, who wrote Lamentations, he could be describing your day. He could be describing your week. He could be describing your month or your year. Because the guy is having a bad time. He's having a rough, rough time. Everything is going wrong. And he gets to an incredibly low point in verse 18. You know, he's reached a point of desperation and hopelessness. And in verse 18 of chapter 3, he says, I say this, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. You know, he's given up. He has quite simply given up. He's had enough. He said, I haven't got any hope anymore. I haven't got any endurance. I'm done. I've had it. And it's in that moment of desperation that he remembers something. You know, he's absolutely desperate, but then he says, but this I call to mind. Somewhere in the back of his memory is something that is stirring, that he hasn't been able to let go of. You know, however desperate he's been and however hopeless the situation is, there's something just churning away inside of him. And he says, this I call to mind, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You know, and in that moment of hopelessness, he knows his only hope is to fall back again and rely on the everlasting love of God. The steadfast love of the Lord, it never, ever changes. And I want to say to you today, I say it to myself as well, whatever you're going through, whatever pressures are coming against you, however much you're feeling overwhelmed, whatever challenges are pressing in from all sides, the steadfast love of the Lord for you never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Jeremiah says he is loving you with an everlasting love. All of the love from eternity before Genesis, all of the love for eternity after Revelation is gathered together into this moment and poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. He's loving you with an everlasting love. The steadfast love of the Lord never, ever ceases. And you may be feeling hopeless. You may be feeling desperate. But I want to give you that promise tonight. And it's not a promise from me, it's a promise from God's heart. It's a promise from the Father to you. My love for you never, ever ceases. And that's the hope that we can fall back on. that even in the midst of the pain that we feel, we can have our hope in him, because he is faithful. We don't need to lose hope. And so, just as we've seen Moses, Jeremiah in Lamentations, they're drawn back into the place of love. They're drawn back to a place where they can once again open their hearts to receive love. See, it's never God's love for us that is in doubt. It's just our ability to receive it. And sometimes the pressures of life, sometimes the circumstances of life, sometimes the busyness of life, you know, it causes us to shut down and not be able to receive, because we're not seeing clearly. And the Father says, can you come back to that place? Can you come back to that place where you can have hope in my unchanging, steadfast love, and let me once again pour that love, that continual flow of love, into your heart? You see, he's always pouring love into our hearts, but sometimes we put the umbrella up and the love just, you know, his pouring out just misses us. But if we can come back to that place where we can open our heart and say, Father, put the umbrella away and say, Father, just let that love come into my heart again. We all know 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and rely on the love that God has for us, to believe in the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love, whoever lives in love, lives in God, and God lives in him. You see, those words, knowing and believing or relying, they're experiential words. They're words that we experience in our heart. They're not words we understand with our mind, but they describe an experience that we can take into our heart, that becomes part of us, that we know that we know that we know that we know that God's love never, ever fails. And we can come back into that place of abiding in him, of living in him. John 15 talks about abiding in the vine. You know, our little branch is grafted into the bigger branch of Jesus, which is planted in the soil of the Father's love. And, you know, as a separate branch, if we're cut off, we're not going to live very long. But when we're tucked into Christ and we're in Christ in God, as Paul writes in Colossians, then we can live in that place of being wrapped in love. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. And where is he? Christ Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Father. He is at the bosom of the Father. And because we are in Christ, we too are held in that intimate embrace of love. Jesus prays in John chapter 17. His praying is his last words before he goes to the cross. And the last few verses of that chapter are often headed up, you know, Jesus prays for all believers or for those who follow after. He's talking about us. And the thing he prays in John 17, verse 24, he says this. He says, Father, I desire that they also, those you've given me, they may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus' desire is that you and I would know that we are with him where he is. And where is he? He's in the bosom of the Father. He's held in that perfect embrace. And that's our true home. That's our home. See, that's what living in love looks like. When we know that our heart has come home, we can begin to live in love. We can begin to put the roots of our life down into love, because we know that we're held in Christ in that embrace of love. And we know that there's nothing we can do that will take us outside of that love. There's nothing we can do that will make him love us anymore. Because his love is not dependent on what we do or don't do. His love is not dependent on how we behave or how we don't behave. His love is constant, it's everlasting, and he loves us simply because he is love. God is love. Full stop. You know, he can't help but love because he is love. And when we discover that we are in Christ and we are with him, you know, that's when we find our home in love and we can put our roots down in love. We can become truly rooted and grounded in love. It really is an amazing gift. It really is a treasure for us to receive in our hearts. You see, I can't make myself become planted in love. I can just open my heart to love, to receive. I can have that homecoming experience where I know I've come home to the embrace of the Father, where the Father looks at me, he sees all the dirt, he sees all the shame, he sees all the filth, and he says, I don't care. And he takes that robe of righteousness and he puts it around me and he says, Son, you belong. He gives me the ring of authority. He gives me sandals. You know, slaves didn't wear sandals. They just went around barefoot. And this son had come home prepared, willing just to be a servant, willing to be a slave. And the father says, no, 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 no. Gives him a pair of sandals and says, Son, you're not a slave. You're my son. You always belong to the family. You have a permanent place in the family. A slave doesn't belong, but you, my son, you, my daughter, belong to the family forever. And all of us need that homecoming experience where we come home with our shame, we come home with our fear, we come home with our insecurity, we come home with our pain, we come home with our grief, we come home with our mourning, and we allow the Father to wrap his arms around. We allow the Father to wrap the robe of righteousness around us. And he says, you belong. You know, the Father in Luke 15, the Father said the same thing to the older brother, to the older son. When the older son comes back from the fields, the Father, they have this little discussion. That the older son's very, very angry, very, very bitter. And the father ends up the story by saying, Son, you are always with me. You are always with me. And everything I have is yours. And he invited the older son to come into the party. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He was, you know, there's the father saying, everything I have is yours. He gave him the opportunity to step into love. He gave him the chance to be enveloped in that embrace of love. But the older son couldn't do it. And I don't want us to be like that today. I want us to run home with open arms into the embrace of the Father. The last verse of chapter 17 of John's Gospel. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. Jesus ends his prayer by saying, I've given them, that's us, I've given you the revelation of who you are, Father. I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in them. Jesus' prayer for us is not only that we would know that we are with him where he is, but he wants us to know that we are loved in the same way as Jesus himself is loved. And so today, very, very simply, I just invite you to run into the open waiting arms of the Father. Don't be like Moses. Don't be caught up with the things that overwhelm you. They're real, they're challenging, they exist, but don't let them take over They may be overwhelming, but don't let them take over. Just see through those things and see the Father. Hear the Father saying, my presence will go with you. And sidestep all of those circumstances, sidestep all of those pressures, and take a step into his presence. 1 John 4, verse 17 and 18 in the Message, it says this: God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. I like that. Love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us. So we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Fear is crippling. A fearful life is one not yet fully formed in love. And I invite you today to take up a permanent residence in a life of love. At the end of Lamentations chapter 3, the conclusion he writes is this: the Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if things are overwhelming you, if there are the challenges and pressures, I encourage you to have hope, to go on seeking his presence, and to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Seek his presence, because it's in his presence that you will find that you are living in love. I'm just going to play a song. I played it before on the webcast. It's called I Will Run. I will run into his open waiting arms. And just as I play this, just as you listen to this, just let this be a prayer. Let these words soak in into your heart. And just let them speak words of life to you.
Lay aside my pride, I lay aside my fear as I bow my heart before your throne. I will put my faith in you and open up my heart, Father, like a child I want to come. I lay aside my pride, I lay aside my fear as I bow my heart before your throne. I will put my faith in you and open up my heart, Father, like a child I want to come. I will run into your open waiting arms. It's here that I'm safe. You are strong. It's here I find the truth. choose to come.
Father, we just want to run into your open, waiting arms today.
Yes.
That's the only place we truly feel safe. Like a little child, we want to run into your arms. We want to seek your presence, Father. Father, we know there are many things that overwhelm us, many things that wear us down. And we just, by nature, we become consumed with all of those things that they draw our focus away from the true reality of life in you. And sure, those things are real, those things are difficult, those things are challenging. But Father, we want to see beyond all of those circumstances of life. And we want to see, as Moses saw, that your presence is the reality. Your presence is the reality. That, Father, we would make love our greatest goal, our greatest aim. We would remain in your love. We would be planted and grounded, rooted and established in your love. Thank you, Father, that you lavish your generous, overflowing love upon us. And Father, thank you that it really is possible for us to live in love. It's not a theory, it's not a concept, but it can be a reality of our lives. And I pray, Father, for each person watching this video, that just in this moment we would have a homecoming into your arms. That whatever we feel like, whatever shame or fear is hanging on to us at the moment, Father, we just run into your arms. Because you don't care. You really don't care. And you're going to wrap that robe of rightness around us and say, son, daughter, you're mine, you belong. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us with an everlasting love. Mm-hmm. Just go on doing that for us, Father.
Yes, thank Lord.
You. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Yeah, and Father, thank you that you actually are seeking us. You're pursuing us. Goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Because it's always been about your faithfulness, not our faith.
Yeah.
Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. For you cannot deny who you are. And Father, for even if there's anybody who is with us in this broadcast that just feels too weak even to pursue or in any way do anything to like the prodigal son that turns their heart toward home. Father, I just pray that they would know that you are pursuing them, you are carrying them, you will not let go. No matter how faithless they feel, that your faithfulness, your everlasting love, your eternal just the affection that you have from eternity, Papa, that you would just, we can rest in that. It's almost like, Father, just help us to surrender to your pursuit and be convinced that, there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any more than you do right now. And there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any less than you do right now. So, Father, Father, we just want to yield, surrender to your love's pursuit. Wow. So I just pray, Father, that you would just awaken in the very core of our being how much you are loving us in this very moment.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen.
Yeah. Oof. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. I got a good dad.
We sure have, eh? We sure have.
And thanks, Mark, for that sharing. That was amazing and so encouraging. And so many things for us just to just be reminded about, eh?
Yeah. Well, folks, thank you for joining us. Once again, back next week, the two of us are together. Then the following week, I'm in Poland. And Barry will, I'm sure, have something lined up for that week. That'll be good. But next week, same time, same place. And I'm just going to finish, I think. I'm just going to play that song again we played at the beginning. Here is love, vast as the ocean. And then at the end, the webcast will just come to an end. So thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
See ya.
Kingdom only, am I?